Right, Romans chapter 1. We're going to start down in verse 14. Romans chapter 1 and verse 14. We don't have a handout tonight, so we'll look at the verses in our Bible. Romans chapter 1 and verse 14. Paul, writing here, says this. He goes, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Verse 15 of Romans 1. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. So Paul, basically, if you look at the really how his life went, Paul spent his life preaching the gospel after he got converted, okay? And so now he's going to give us a little insight into how he did that. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now we understand, and we've taught and preached around, pastors taught and preached enough around here, that the main purpose, one of the main purposes of the church is to preach the gospel and get the gospel everywhere. The Great Commission in one form or another is mentioned in all the Gospels. It's mentioned in the book of Acts. God wants us as Christians to spread the good news, to get out there and preach the gospel and get it to everybody. And so that is one of our functions. And by the way, we talked about missions and so forth. We don't just do it here. We spread out. We go a little outside of our area. That has to do with the church planting. And then we support missions. And then we also have teams that are going out, and we're trying to get the gospel everywhere we can. It's our responsibility as a church, and we're big on that. Now, we understand that particularly this summer, and where our church has been at in the last year, particularly year and a half when we've been physically building the building, it has taken a lot of energy away from us. That's natural. That happens. There are times in your life and in just certain situations where things come up, and energy has to be given to something, and it kind of just takes a little energy. We only have so much energy, and we understand that. This summer, by the way, we've got a lot done on the job site this summer. It's tremendous. You go out there, there's been great progress made. But it's been a bit of a necessary distraction, and it takes a little bit of time away, time that could have been used maybe a little bit more for outreach. Now, the summer is coming to an end. In the time of the building, we have a this week to finish up. Next week, we have a claim team coming in. And after that, summer's kind of down, and we're getting to the fall, and we're going to have a little bit more time, and we're going to spend a little bit more time getting out the gospel, because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be out reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we never want to get our focus in the wrong spot. We want to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And the purpose of our church isn't to build a building. Now, we need the building, because the building's going to help us to fulfill the purpose that God has for our church to reach the world here and everywhere else. But we would never want to lose our focus. It's like this. Let me illustrate this. I need three guys, one, two, and three, come up here for a minute. These guys are going to be firemen. You can see if your house is on fire, you're in big trouble, all right? So these three guys are going to come up here. Come on, stand up here. Now, we're going to see how smart these guys are. Each of them are firemen. And firemen put out fires. Now, we're going to give each of them a job within the fire department, okay? This guy here is going to be the driver of the fire truck, all right? So what is your job? What do you do?
Drive the fire truck.
He drives a fire truck, right. This guy's job is he is going to be the hose straightener. He's going to make sure the fire hose is in good shape, ready to go, and rolled up nicely. It's on the truck, ready to go. Everything's ready to go, okay? So what's your job?
Prepare the hose.
Good. This guy here is, he makes sure that the pole that they slide down to get on the truck is slippery so they can get to the truck quick. Okay? He's the pole greaser. All right? What is your job?
Pole greaser.
Now, let's see how smart these guys are. All right? All of them are firemen, so tell me if you can remember the job I gave you. Ready? What's your job?
Drive the fire truck.
Dive the fire truck. What's your job?
Prepare the hose.
Prepare the hose. What's your job?
Greaser.
He's a greaser. Greaser's what we used to call the old... Anyhow, the homies. All right. Now, every single one of these guys is wrong. What is their job? You're a fireman. Your job is to put out fires. Don't ever come to my house, all right? Let's give them a hand. They can go sit down. Now, within their responsibility of putting out fires, they're going to have other jobs. They're going to have other responsibilities. But what is their main job as a fireman? It's to get the fire out. He has to drive to get there so that they can get there on time to put the fire out. He needs to make sure the hose is okay so that when they show up at the fire that they can have water in the hose and put the fire out. And he needs to grease the pole so they can get into the truck and get over there, put the fire out quickly, but their job is to put the fire out. You know what the job of the church is? One of the main functions of the church, of course, we're to honor and glorify God, but our job is to get the gospel out to the world, to get people saved. Now, we do a lot, you know, we'll say, well, I work in the nursery, and I do this and that. That's all a necessary part of it, but our main responsibility is to get the gospel out. Amen. And that's what we need to be involved with. Turn over to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. By the way, we support missions. Amen. We support them for as much as we can. Say, well, that doesn't make sense. You're trying to build a building, and we're trying. I know, but why we're trying to build a building, we're still to be putting the fire out. Get the gospel out. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. He's telling about a scene in heaven, a future scene that's going to take place in heaven. It says this: after this, I behold, and lo, a great multitude. He sees this great multitude, which no man could number. And look what he says, of all nations, all over the world, all kindreds, nationalities, and people, different people groups, and tongues, different languages. So he sees this great host of all these different people, all these different nationalities, all these different people groups. Here they all are in heaven, and what are they doing? They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. You know what this group is doing? They're praising the Lord. Now, you know what the good thing about reaching people with the gospel all over the world and everywhere we can is? We are taking place in this future scene. Because these are people that are getting saved, that will one day be in heaven. And so when we're out soul winning and we support missions, those people that are getting saved are going to be part of this scene in heaven, and that's what we do. We need to get the gospel out. And so as I mentioned, we've been a little distracted, but fall is coming and summer's getting over, and we need to start getting ready to have a great fall and to reach people. When we talk about the Great Commission, we mentioned it's one of the last commands that Christ gave us. He wants us to reach people with the gospel. Summer is coming to the end. The job site for us, it's still going forward. It'll slow down a little, but we want to make sure that we don't check out when it comes to reaching people. We never want to check out. If anything, we want to renew it. You know, once the summer is over, you know, summer, people get in vacation mode. They're doing this, they're doing that. Some people that are faithful get on. It's like, that's fine. Let's just get back to what we're doing. Okay, we went on vacation. Everybody goes on vacation. When we get back from vacation, it's usually a really long drive. And I get back. When I get home, it's like we had a great time. Everything's wonderful. The first thing I do is I empty everything out, put everything away. Vacation's over. Okay, we're done with the traveling. We're back. Let's get back doing what we're supposed to be doing. Summer's over. Kids will be going back to school. You'll get back in a regular schedule. But we need to. A fall just seems like, for some reason, is a very fruitful time to reach people. And I don't know what there is about it. Our fall program has been tremendous. Our friend day and all the special days we do. But we want to make sure that we are reaching people for Christ. Now, let's get back to the verses here. As Paul was talking about the gospel, he says that he is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, what I want to do is let's look at that verse and let's pull some things out of that that help us to understand why we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel, why we ought to be out there reaching people with the gospel, okay? Let's just look at a couple things. First of all, I want you, as we read this verse, we want to understand that the gospel, getting the gospel out, it's something that's very personal. It's personal. He said, I am not ashamed. I didn't say we're not ashamed, but, and of course he's talking to everybody, but he wasn't ashamed. he personally was ready to preach the gospel. Why? Because it's a personal responsibility that each and every single one of us has. It's not just, well, you know, that's the staff's job. Yes, you're right. It is the staff's job. Now, let me say this. It's not the staff's job because we get a paycheck from the church. You know why it's my job? Because I'm a Christian. And I was doing it long before I ever was a staff member. Well, that's pastor's job. He's a pastor. You're right. It is pastor's job. But it's not his job just simply because he's a pastor. It's his job because he's a Christian. He has a personal responsibility. And let me say this. It's your job too. And you have a personal responsibility. You know how it is sometimes? You know, we listen to preaching and we think, and you shouldn't, and you're backsliding, and so am I probably. You hear something, oh, that's good for somebody. I hope Chip heard that. He needs that. Or, you know, pastor's talking about being a good husband, and you know what happens. By the way, whenever a pastor talks about being a good husband, husbands, grab the songbook and put it up by your ribs. Because usually the wife goes, ah, that's for you. By the way, ladies, before you do that, you have to realize he usually turns the corner and he comes back to the ladies too, all right? But we're always, it's always like, oh, that's good for so-and-so. Amen. He needed that. No, wait, it's for you. It's for me. And so getting the gospel out is something that is personal. It's something all of us are to be involved with. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And here we go. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. If we have something, some deep down, a biblical held belief in our life, we ought to be able to give a person an answer for why we have that belief in our life. Amen. From the scripture. We ought to know it. Why? If someone comes up to you and says, hey, you're a Christian, what does that mean to be a Christian? You are responsible to be able to tell them what that means. Amen. Now, I understand, as a brand new Christian, just right with God, coming to church for about a month, I thought, man, this is good stuff. I want to share it with my friends. I did not know how to tell them. So you know what I did? They come to my house, you know, they started coming around my house like, man, where you been? You know, see you on Fridays, we'll see you on Saturday. What's going on? It's like, I go to church now. Like, what? Yeah, you guys ought to come with me. And I did this on many occasions. I bring my friend to church, and I did not know anything about how to share the gospel. I remember several of them sitting back there, and pastor started the invitation. I said, hey, you guys need to come with me. The pastor needs to talk to you. They're like, what? And I took them down there, and I took them to assistant pastor, Brother Dave's assistant, and I said, can you talk to my friend? He's not a Christian. And he talked to him. That's all I knew how to do. But I realized one day, hey, I need to be able to, I don't need to bring him to church. I need to talk to him myself. We started to learn. I heard a testimony recently of a baseball player. In that he was a baseball player in the 80s. He recently passed away, but he was not a Christian, but he was when he got into the major leagues, he was kind of a younger guy, and his wife had a little bit of common sense, and she told him, she goes, now look, I don't want you hanging around the guys on your team. Hang around with the Christian guys. Now, they were not Christians, and he didn't want to become a Christian. But his wife said, those other guys are bad news. At least hang around the Christians. You won't get in trouble. So this guy kind of hung around the Christians a little bit, and they tried to talk to him a little bit, and he would always shy away from it when they would present the gospel or wanted to present the gospel, and he kind of knew when he'd go to activities with them when he should leave so they don't try to get him. And so, you know, they talked to him a little bit, but he didn't want to become a Christian, but he just liked hanging around him. Well, one day he was pitching, I believe, in Cincinnati or somewhere, and his arm went out. I mean, just totally went out. It shattered when he was playing. Guy hit the ball back to him. It was a pitching arm, and it was a pretty heavy-duty thing for him. He was probably going to lose his career. So he was healing for a few days, and one of the days the team had a day off, and the guys called him and said, hey, why don't you come hang with us? We're going to go golfing. I know you can't golf, but you need to get out of the house. I know you're a little bit down right now. Just come hang out with us. And this guy said, I'm going to hang out with them. So he went out with them golfing, and they had a new guy with them that wasn't part of the team. And this guy tried to witness to him. And he gave him these little arguments that he gave the other guys that they couldn't answer. And this guy tried to answer his questions a little bit and gave him a book. He said, you know, I can give you all the answers. He goes, I want you to read this, and then I want to meet with you later. We'll get together again and tell me what you think. And this guy read that book, and it answered his questions. And About a week later, they all got together again. And the guy asked, what'd you think about the book? He goes, that answered all my questions. But here's what he did. He looked at the other guys and goes, why couldn't you guys answer my questions? He goes, you guys have been bringing me out here and you've been trying to talk to me and you haven't been able to answer my questions. According to the book I read, you're supposed to be able to answer my questions. Why weren't you? A little heavy duty. You see, as Christians, we ought to be able to tell somebody what it means to be a Christian. We ought to be able to answer their questions about how they can come into the faith. That is our personal responsibility. You say, I don't know how to do that. You ought to learn. We can help you with that. So we must understand that the gospel, it's personal. Number two, when we look at the gospel, we must understand the person of the gospel. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, we're not out talking about us. We're out talking, we're talking about Christ. Amen. Now look, if I was out and I had to go out and talk to people about me, I wouldn't want to do that. And you probably wouldn't want to listen to it. But don't feel too bad because I don't want to hear about you either. Care less. Just kidding. But we're not out talking about, we're out talking about Christ. You say, well, what if someone rejects it? They're not rejecting you. And by the way, you know how it is. There are people out there that are antagonistic. There are people out there that are, they just don't want to hear it. They're rude. They're going to say, their problem is not with you. Their problem is with God. And you as his representative, that's just how it is. Well, I don't like to reject. I could just, it's not you. It's them. When we talk, of course, we're from Pacific Baptist Church. And in essence, we represent our church. But it's not about the church. I remember I talked to a man one time. I was witnessing to him, and he said, I'm on my way to heaven because I'm a member of the church. And he pulled out an obscure verse in Acts that says that Christ died for the church, and he misapplied it. He said, so if Christ died for the church and I'm a member of the church, I'm okay. It's not about the church. Christianity is about Jesus Christ. In a personal living relationship with him and a forgiveness for sins that only he can give us. So we shouldn't be ashamed because it's not ours, it's his. All kinds of things. We think, you know, I remember I knocked on a lady's door one time and I knocked on her door and she said, and she's like, who is it? It was an older lady and I was younger at that time. And she said, I said, it's Steve from the church. She goes, come on in. I'm like, okay, that was easy. And she goes, I know why you're here. Now, I didn't know churches do this, and maybe we should do this. This would be great. She goes, I know why you're here. I'm like, why? She goes, I haven't been giving my tithe. I'm like, you know what, ma'am? Not today. That's not why I'm here. I came to you to talk to you about something completely different. She goes, really? What is it? I said, well, I started witnessing to her. And she goes, wait a minute. As soon as I start talking about the Bible, she goes, wait, you're not from my church. So I never said I was. I said I was from First Baptist Church. But she knew the difference right off the bat, okay? It's not about a church. It's not about giving. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's his gospel. It's not mine. All he asked me to do is share it. So it's about the person. We must understand Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Who paid the price? We didn't pay the price. He paid the price. It's his gospel. Next, I would say this. We need to understand the power behind the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. You know, new converts sometimes. You've heard this. When we used to go out on the soul-winning buses, we go out in cars now. We used to go when we were smaller and we could do it. It was more effective. We would all go out together on buses. And when we would come back, we would have testimonies. And I always liked when a newer convert who was out for the first time would come back and say, you know, we have testimonies. Tell us how it went tonight. And someone would say, you know, John and I saved somebody tonight. I'm thinking, you didn't save anybody. And if you saved them, they're in a world of hurt. I know what they meant by that. In other words, someone got saved. We don't save anybody. So when we're going out talking to people, it's not our job to get them saved. It's our job, now listen to this, it's our job to present the gospel and to lovingly persuade them, but ultimately it's their decision. Amen. By the way, let me say this, and this is getting off the subject, but it's not. You cannot force somebody to get saved. I heard a teacher say this one time, and I'm not trying to be critical here, but is 1,000% wrong. He was talking about evangelism, said he went out, he witnessed to a guy, and he asked the guy, would you like to pray and receive Christ? And the guy said, I do that every day. Now, by the way, when someone gives you that answer, what does that tell you? Anybody know? It means they don't understand what you're talking about. This teacher told me the answer was, well, you wouldn't want to miss a day, would you? Now, look, that's not helping the guy. He didn't understand. Our job is not to force people to get saved. Our job is to confront them. I like that word, not in a bad, that's confrontational evangelism. Well, that's what you're doing. You're giving them the gospel. It's confronting them with the wickedness of their sin so that the Holy Spirit can convict them of their sin and they'll turn and trust Christ as their Savior. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? But we're not the ones that get them saved. We lovingly try to do everything we can, but they choose to trust Christ. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, not what we say. Now, I think we ought to learn how to talk to people. I think we ought to learn how to present the plan, but that's not what if we present it correctly and we're using Scripture, God will convict their soul. And then the decision is laid at their doorstep. I never try to coerce someone to get saved. I don't say, let me give you the 4 points. Let's bow our heads. Now, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, just pray after me. I don't do that. I look them in the eye and say, do you understand? Will you trust Christ right now? It's a decision. Okay? When I got married, my wife didn't say, hey, why don't we bow our head and close our eyes and pray? Now, why we're prayed, if you'll just say these simple words, I do. Like, hey, whoa, whoa, hey, whoa, whoa, wait. Shouldn't, No, it's a decision. And aren't you glad that all we do is give the gospel and we try to persuade men, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we what? Persuade them. We're not nonchalant. I don't want to trust Christ. Okay, man, I don't want to offend you. Talk to them. What would keep you from trusting Christ? Is there something you don't understand? Is there something we can tell, is there something from the Bible I can answer your question? But realize the gospel saves them. We don't save anybody. Remember years ago, brand new soul, I've been going to church for about 3 months or so, and my brother-in-law at the time, he came after I started going to church. He came to church with me, and he walked the aisle, got saved, got baptized, was coming to church. We decided to go out soul winning. Now the church soul winning plan was a little different. When people come here, we'll pair them up with somebody so that they know how to, if they don't know how to talk to somebody, they'll go with someone that knows how to talk. Well, that didn't happen there. They had a little meeting in the auditorium. They said, all right, Let's go get them. And everybody took off, and I'm looking there, and my brother-in-law was sitting there, and I'm sitting there, and it's like, I guess we're going together. And I said, well, what do we do? He's like, I don't know. He's like, let's go visit my mom. So we went to visit his mom. Now, I did not know the plan of salvation, except at that time I talked to Brother Esposito, and he was in the service at that time, but I think he came home for a short time, and he gave me this soul-winning plan. I taped it in my New Testament. I had no idea what it was about. There was the points right there, and there were the script. It wasn't even the Romans Road. It was all over the New Testament. So I taped it in there, and I said, he says, let's go talk to my mom. I'm like, okay. Now, his mom was an old German lady. Her name was Helga. Okay? Now, when you say the name Helga, a certain picture comes in your mind, right? That was her to a T. She was the kind of lady, if she got upset and her husband irritated her, frying pan, here we go. And so I'm like, wow, okay. So we went to talk to Helga. And so we go there, and her husband was sitting very submissively on the couch, and he didn't want to have anything to do with it, and she didn't ask him to come. We're like, and my brother-in-law said, hey, we want to talk to you. Steve wants to talk to you. I'm like, oh, great, here we go. And so we sat there at the table, and I said, I want to talk to you about knowing for sure when you die, you go to heaven. Is that something you might be interested in? She goes, yeah, I would be interested in that. I'm like, all right, here's what you need to know. And I flip my New Testament open. It says here, we're all sinners. So let me find the verse. I flipped the verse. I read the verse. I'm like, yep, we're all sinners. And I explained it the best I could. I said, you got that? We're all sinners. And I got that. I said, all right, number two. And I flipped to the front of my New Testament. Whoa, says here there's a price for sin. And I did that. I didn't have a polished plan. I didn't know what I was doing. I'm flipping to the front. And when I got to point four and talking about hell, but Christ can save you and he loves you and he wants to save you, I looked up at her and she was crying. I'm like, wow. Like, maybe she was crying because she felt sorry for me. I'm not sure. And I said, do you want to trust Christ? And she goes, I do. I'm like, well, you need to receive him as your Savior. Why don't we pray and do that? Now, I didn't even know what to pray. But fortunately, I had taped that in my New Testament also. So I'm like, bow your head and close your eyes. Now, you're not talking to me. You're praying to the Lord. If you mean this with all your heart. And she got saved right there. Look, it wasn't a great presentation. The scripture's a great presentation. Okay? The gospel has the power. The word of God has the power through the Spirit of God to convict people. You know what he needs us? He needs us just to go. He needs us to go and present it. It's not, you know, we're not used car salesmen. It's not our personality, although God can use it. But it's the scripture that convicts people. And so we must understand the power. Also, we must understand the purpose. It's the power of God unto salvation. What is salvation? I think salvation is eternal, of course. Our soul is saved from eternal death in hell. But I think it's something more. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? Yeah. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you understand that the gospel has the power not just to save somebody, but the power to change their life forever? Amen. What a wonderful possibility there. You think of the Bible. Think of Saul. Saul was a murderer. He killed Christians. I mean, he wasn't just a bad guy hanging out, you know, wasn't just drinking and cheating on. He killed Christians. And yet God saved him. And his life was completely changed. You remember when they took him after he was saved and they brought him in and said, hey, this brother Saul. And they're like, of Tarsus? We have heard about this guy. You sure this isn't a trick? For him to get in here? That's what they were thinking, I'm sure. God completely changed his life. And you read the book of Acts, how many times did he have an opportunity and he gave his testimony? How God saved him. His whole life was about the gospel. You can go through, there are so many people. We know about Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was a great revivalist at the turn of the early 1900s. At one time in the late 1800s, Billy Sunday was the highest paid player in baseball. And yet, hanging out in Chicago on a Sunday, that was back when they didn't play sports on Sunday. He heard someone, he was hanging out with his buddies on Sunday because they didn't have a game, and he heard somebody at a rescue mission, and he went over there, and he got saved, and God changed his life, and he gave up baseball to become an evangelist. Only God can do that. We know the story of Mel Trotter. Mel Trotter was another man, just so happens was in Chicago, who was a drunkard, and due to his negligence, the alcohol that he was drinking into negligence, one of his children died. He was out to, he took the last of his money, was supposed to go out and buy medicine for the children, and he went out to a bar and he got drunk. When he came back a few days later, the child had died. He decided he was going to go down to Lake Michigan and kill himself. Happened to walk by the same rescue mission. Someone encouraged him to go into the rescue mission. He heard the gospel. He got saved. God changed his life, and he spent the rest of his life starting rescue missions around our country. See, God can change people's lives. When you give the gospel, you're not just changing their eternal destiny, although that's a great thing. Now their life can be changed, and God can be honored and glorified in everything they do. We got to understand the purpose. God doesn't want us just to get saved. God wants us to get saved and to live a life that's honoring and pleasing to him. But salvation is the first step. They must get saved. So we must understand the purpose. And then we must understand the possibility. He said it's unto salvation to everyone. The gospel, you cannot take the gospel to the wrong person. Okay, the person you think that sometimes you talk to, like that person wouldn't listen. You know, they give you this demeanor. They're completely different. But we're to take the gospel to everybody. Not just the poor, not just the rich, not just everybody. You cannot take the gospel to the wrong person. Now, John tells us God so loved the what? World. Categorize it. The world's everybody. Okay? Now, there's a segment here, and some of the more evangelical liberal churches that are kind of going a different direction are kind of buying into what we call Calvinism, where they believe that God chooses some for heaven and God chooses some from hell, and if someone is not one of God's chosen, they cannot accept the gospel, and you're wasting your time trying to give it to them. There's a non-biblical word for that, nonsense. The gospel's for everybody. Everybody. And so we take the gospel to everybody we can. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering." He's not like us. We give people a couple chances, and it's like, we're done. You didn't respond. I've had it. God's not like that. God is long-suffering. "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And then lastly, we must understand the promise. What's the promise? "To everyone that believeth." We truly trust the Lord Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. It is settled from that moment forward. We have the promise of God on that. It's for everybody. If we believe, we receive, we have eternal life. You know, I'm glad I don't have to, you talk to someone's people sometimes and like, "Do you know for sure if you die to go to heaven?" It's like, "Well, you know, I think I have more good deeds than bad deeds, and when I get to heaven, I'll find out." Now, why in the world would you want to wait until you die to figure that thing out? It's too late then. Why would we wait? We can know now. People can know now that they're God's child. People can go now that they're saved. It's a promise. We call that eternal security. Once saved, always saved. Okay? You say, "Well, I've met some people, I wonder." Well, you don't know if they're saved or not. That's between them and God. I believe there are some people that aren't saved and sometimes play to pretend they are. Wheat and the tares. They grow together. But that's not for me to say. I'm supposed to go out and share the gospel to everybody I can. And if they truly trust in Jesus Christ, they are eternally secure in Christ. There was a couple men one time walking by a river. They were arguing about eternal security. One guy said, once you're saved, you're saved forever. And he tried to illustrate. He picked up a rock that was in the mud. He walked over to the stream. He said, "This is a sinner." He washed it, and he goes, "They're washed in the blood of Christ. They're clean now." The other guy grabbed the rock and said, "Oh, really?" He threw the rock back in the mud. He goes, "There, they're back in the mud." So you can lose your salvation. The guy picked up the rock, and he threw it in the water and said, "Now it's going to be clean forever. It's in the blood of Christ." Once we're saved, we're always saved. Listen, the gospel is a wonderful thing. But we all need to understand, every single person in this room, it is our responsibility to be able to share it with a lost and dying world. It's what we're supposed to do. And if you don't know how, we need to learn. And we need to share the gospel everywhere we can with whoever we can. It's not about being a good salesman. It's about being obedient, and God blesses obedience, and the Spirit convicts, and people will get saved. But we must do our